Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, for those anytime easy drinking occasion.
Guys, I've been listening to y'all since this show aired.
When I turn on the Morning Rush, I want to hear Ty at his best every single day.
There are people that have saved up all year and done whatever it took just to get a ticket, just to get a glimpse at the Razorback.
Ty, fortunately, has saved the world and not yet procreated.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
So I remember growing up as a kid, my dad always commented that I was quite stubborn and thought I would grow up to be a lawyer of sorts. I just picked the dumbed down version of that, which is sports radio. You can still argue on a daily basis and during your job, but you don't have to be as intelligent or as witty or as captivating as some of the lawyers that you may know when it comes to what they do in the courtroom. Yesterday for lunch, I'm typically pretty good during the week what I eat, but yesterday was what I considered a cheat day. I had probably a combined 3,500 calories for both lunch and dinner, a gravy burger and pound of fries for lunch, and then a frozen pizza for dinner. And I know many of you felt like you were cheated out of Saturday's game, but as you heard from Sam Pittman in our open, it doesn't necessarily do any good to continue to hack and harsh on it. And that's a team perspective. You're welcome to continue to call, complain, moan, whatever you need to this morning at 877-377-6963. But I guarantee you that this football team, Sunday's their off day, this football team, as of yesterday, hopped back on the wagon. They didn't have a cheat day. They know Ole Miss is coming to town with a very potent offense that Lane Kiffin is bringing with Matt Corral, Elijah Moore, Ely and company. This is not going to be an easy football game. They are getting back to work. You heard it from Sam Pittman. You'll hear it from the players throughout the week. That's the mentality that they're going to have heading into Ole Miss this weekend. This is the Morning Rush. He's Tommy Kraft. I'm Ty Richardson. 877-377-6963. Number to call or text in. We are always streaming live. HitThatLine.com. You can find our video stream, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. If you have a smart speaker, just say play ESPN Arkansas. No guests today. Just you and us at 877-377-6963. If you don't get to listen to the show in its entirety, you can go on the Hit That Line Podcast Network, iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you listen to podcasts. Make sure you're rating, reviewing, and subscribing to get our message out. Tommy, did you get back on the wagon yesterday? Did you eat healthy? Or did you just still have a hangover from the weekend that I did?
You saw what I ate yesterday. Never been on the wagon as much as you to begin with. I like to just talk about being on the wagon. Not actually being on the wagon. I like to just look at the wagon. I like to keep the wagon somewhere in sight, not actually ride on the wagon. I just want to look at the wagon.
You couldn't have
when
eaten
it comes
this,
to eating healthier.
You couldn't have eaten as bad
actually,
as I
Actually, I went
yesterday.
To Joe's Grill and Cantina and had a chicken breast with spinach on top of it.
That's somewhat healthy.
Somewhat healthy.
Also
but then
covered
had some
in cheese dip?
No, it's spinach and some kind of sauce they put on it. It wasn't cheese dip, but it was good. It was very good. See, then I had chips and salsa and some Coke Zeros to go with that as well. So I mean, I could see the wagon, but I wasn't really on the wagon as far as eating healthy.
Not necessarily.
That was all I had pretty much to eat yesterday.
Well, when
but,
you're...
But I get it. You feel like you have earned some kind of greasy delight after the weekend you had.
Yeah, because you're cheated out of what should have been a win. And so
no,
I was
you
like,
weren't cheated. And there was a mistake made. And I'll convince you of that eventually. Because if you were cheated, it was done on purpose. It wasn't done on purpose. Even Sam was saying that.
I don't agree with everything Sam says.
Okay, well, that's fine. You don't have to agree with what I say. But that's, you can agree with the facts or you can have your own opinion. Either way.
Well, here's the thing. So when it comes to what occurred on Saturday, some people were still ticked off. Some people were still angry. Some people were still frustrated. And that's fine. Now, Sam and his football team can have a completely different mentality than you as a fan have. They have to move on. Because if they don't move on, Ole Miss is going to walk into Donald W. Reynolds Razorback Stadium and kick their keister on Saturday. That's just what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen on national television. So I think when it comes to just joking about like us cheating yesterday and stuff, I think with this football team getting back on track, obviously started with a good practice yesterday. We'll get into some Sam Pittman audio coming up, but I was just so aggravated and frustrated, like many of you were, because it just seems like this continues to happen over and over again. And we'll get in this conversation coming up, because I think it's the one we didn't get to it yesterday because we had so many calls and texts, but where you felt like there's been games since you joined the SEC, even outside the SEC, that were taken away from you in some sense of the word. Now, that you can characterize that phrase in a number of different ways, but that's the best way I can put it. And I think when it comes to just this conversation itself, it just seems like that the Auburn game goes into that category as well.
I mean, listen, it stinks, and I don't like the way it, but there's really been two games where this has happened in 12 years. The 09 Florida game and this one. If you can name another one where there was some kind of end-of-game call and the game was just taken away from you where you were going to win the game, I'll listen. But I don't recall anything else. There's been two in 12 years. So this is not a problem that happens week after week, year after year, day after day.
Well,
where Arkansas is getting the shaft and just cheated.
I don't think, Tommy, you just look at the games that Arkansas has participated in. All you have to do is look at what happened in Auburn and Kentucky this year when Kentucky's running back clearly is across the plane and they inexplicably don't give them the touchdown. A play later, Terry Wilson throws a pick and Auburn doesn't take it back to the house because there's a targeting penalty called during the replay. But I just think there's a lot of frustration in the fact that it's seemingly that Auburn and Alabama get calls repeatedly over and over and over every single year. And it's not just pertaining to Arkansas being in that football game. It's pertaining to a number of different games. I mean, just ask Alabama what happened in Jordan-Hare Stadium last year where there's no business them getting the second back on. So, but again, what the conversation can be today, it's up to you guys. I have two separate shows that I basically cataloged out today. We can harp on this a little bit. We can harp on this a lot. It's up to your calls and texts where the conversation goes, or we can touch on some other stuff. We can touch on the fact that really Sam Pittman and this football team have done a great job earning the respect so far this season. We can touch on the fact that through three games, there is a case to be made that Sam Pittman has been the best hire of the three. Now, it's only through three games. You got to wait a little bit, obviously. You're not even concluding a full season. But so far, Sam Pittman has done a magnificent job. And then we'll also get into those games coming up here as well. But it's really going to be dependent on you today,
What
you all want to talk about. Because I can go either way in this conversation.
We have four phone lines into our studios. And I would say, what would you guys say, 90% of the time yesterday, all four phone lines were taken. So there was probably a lot of you out there that tried to get in yesterday that could not. And if you feel strongly and you still want to be heard and you want to talk to us about it, you want to vent, we want to take your call. So I don't want to shut that down today, if that's all right with you, because I still want to hear from people about this. I still enjoy having this conversation. And I think there were a lot of people waiting in line yesterday that could not get in to the Morning Rush Cafe, so to speak.
Well,
the line was too long. The hostess station was backed up. We didn't have enough of those little vibrating buzzers to get people in yesterday.
I'll have this conversation either way, too. It just seemed like you wanted to move on at a certain point.
I just hate continuing. And I understand you're pandering a little bit and placating to fans, and that's fine. Hard words like cheating and that we actually got shafted and all, you know,
it's screwed, bent over.
Because it was done on purpose, you know, and that's fine.
Just because, that didn't imply it's done on purpose when I say something like that.
I think there's, still a lot of emotion out there about it. And I don't like the way things turned out either.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
Does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Before we get into the quick hitting headlines, I want to welcome in Josh, who's been patiently waiting in MENA, home of the Bearcats. Josh, you are on the Morning Rush.
Good morning, boys. How are you?
Hey, Josh.
I just wanted to call in. Are y'all responsible for the Pledge of Allegiance in the morning?
Yes.
All right. Well, I really, really appreciate that.
Yeah, what Josh is referring to, for those that don't know, listening around the state, is on the affiliate Josh is listening to on ESPN 96.3. Right before the show on that station, we have the Pledge of Allegiance that runs at 5:59. So, Josh, I'm glad you noticed, and thank you for passing along those words.
Yeah, and I just wanted to tell Ty, I appreciate how much you know about the Razorbacks. I mean, you're very knowledgeable for as young as you are. And then I love your show. And Sam Pittman, Barry Odom, Kendall Browse, we've got to figure out a way how to tie them down. After three games, I've never been so excited.
Josh, it's hard to curtail that excitement when you should be 2-1 right now, right? I mean,
exactly.
Sam Pittman.
And I also listened to Rick Neuheisel Neuheisel and Rick Childers, and they never, ever, ever mention Razorbacks. But now that we're where we're at now in football, they're bringing it up. They're bringing the Razorbacks up, and they're talking about, yeah, we got hosed. I tell you, we did enough to win the game. We just, missed call, whatever you call it. I tell you, I'm excited. We are playing defense. It's just, I'm very excited. That's all I got.
Josh, appreciate the call this morning. You bring up two national guys in Neuheisel and Chris Childers, who they're Sirius XM guys, for those who don't know. They're talking about you. Clay Travis is talking about you. Tim Brando's talking about you. Heck, Dickie V said you got hosed. Dick Vitale, the guy that never gives Arkansas credit for anything, said you got hosed this weekend. So
you get your players' names right half the time.
Yeah, and like for what happened for Arkansas, obviously a lot of you listen to the game on ESPN Arkansas. For that game to be on ESPN and you giving Auburn every bit of what you had, down 17-0, a lot of national people took notice. And I have been hammering that point since the offseason. You have to get back to a point of respectability. And that starts really with national college football people noticing and talking about you. Through three games, that's happened a lot already.
Yeah, and I think you need to back it up, obviously, this week. Play well against Ole Miss. You're not going to sneak up on people. You know, the league knows that you're going to play hard. And the days of this not being a tough football program that's soft and just kind of lays down, I think those days are over. It's like Sam said, you're not going to embarrass yourself anymore if you're a Razorback.
And he keeps on saying, we are not going to embarrass ourselves anymore. He's almost taking the blame, even though it's not his fault, for the last couple of years, which I think is important considering your last head coach was doing anything but that. All right, back to the phone line. Speaking of Ole Miss, going to the land of the Cyclones, welcoming in Danny in Russellville, who wants to talk about Lane Kiffin and company. Danny, you're on the Morning Rush.
Well, I'm excited too, guys. But when you look at Ole Miss, 670 yards against Alabama and 48 points.
Against who?
Against Bama.
Yeah, yeah. They know him for any defense.
Alabama.
Yeah, exactly.
So what we got to do is we got to figure out a way to score points, stay on the field, keep our – even both teams, they scored so fast, their defenses just got totally wore out in that game. It was a track meet up and down the field. So I'm sure we got a game plan, but I figure it involves – ball control. You got to get first downs and you got to score points. It's we were talking this way before the Mississippi State game as well, and they ended up scoring 14.
Yeah, we thought they were good at that point. We know Ole Miss's offense is good because we've seen it. Even though they lost to Florida, even though they lost to Bama, they have put up good numbers against two quality teams so far this year.
Speaking of Mississippi State,
it's not a fluke.
State,
it's not a fluke with Ole Miss.
Mike Leach is talking about malcontents, and it looks like he said get on board the ship or walk the plank. Evidently, some people aren't buying in. I don't know. Aren't you glad we got Sam Pittman? I mean,
well, that tune has changed a little bit the last couple of weeks with some. I don't think there was a lot of people listening that thought, well, maybe we didn't go the right way. I know after they beat LSU that week one, we didn't have it fully in focus with some. But, I think it's fully in focus that Mississippi State and then went over LSU really doesn't hold value right now the way it did 3 weeks ago.
Well, I, for one, am glad we got Sam Pittman. Before I get off of here, what do Ginger from Gilligan's Island and I Dream a Genie from I Dream a Genie have in common?
Well, they were both TV shows in, what, the 70s? So,
right.
Yeah, so.
I know we're losing
What's the answer? Yeah, he doesn't even know those TV shows.
I know Gilligan's Island.
Making is this. They're both 89.
Huh.
So, for us older guys, you know, we want to see the Razorbacks relevant again before we leave this earth. And there's hope. So, I feel I'm excited about the Razorbacks. And if we want attention from the national media, a win against Ole Miss this week would be a good way to do it. Guys, have a good day.
Danny, always appreciate your call. And I don't know if you necessarily have to wait, right? I mean, this team's already shown that they beat Mississippi State. They went down to the wire and should have beat Auburn. That's two SEC road wins in three games. And you have a fantastic, magnificent opportunity to beat a high-powered offense in Ole Miss this weekend and really stamp another notch on the belt of Sam Pittman. You beat one guy you thought you were going to hire. Now you have an opportunity to the guy that you were even closer to hire to beat him as well. And Sam's never going to come out and say this game means more to him or anything. But in the back of his mind, I guarantee you it does. Because he is always going to be compared with Mike Leach, Drinkwitz, and Kiffin. And regardless of how prolonged those conversations went with each individual of their possibility of becoming the head coach at Arkansas, Sam knows that. Hunter knows that. You know that. It's always going to be in the back of his head. This game is very significant for Sam Pittman, both on a personal level and just for the reputation of Arkansas football in 2020.
Yeah, and he understands the comparisons. We all are making the comparisons. Would he be viewed different if they'd actually gotten the win? I mean, I think so. We'd be elevating, and particularly outside of the state and around the conference. At the end of the day, he didn't win that game, and it's a shame that he doesn't get the credit for it.
Well, I think a lot of people watch that game first and foremost, but some people will just look at the score and say, oh, Arkansas actually contended with Auburn. Yep. So you're definitely earning respect. There's no Absolutely. Question about it across the college football world. All right, going back to the phone lines, welcoming in David in South Arkansas. David, I'm not going to play your Chiefs chant because they finally lost on Saturday or Sunday, man, to the Raiders, and I know you were in attendance.
Well, it was a perfect 0-for-3 weekend. The Hogs lose, the Chiefs lose, the Cowboys win. So to me, that's just a perfectly depressing weekend all around. But anyway, I won't get into that game, but it was really great. I was driving up Saturday, and of course, every station in Missouri had the Mizzou LSU game on, and it was so wonderful to hear those Mizzou announcers just ecstatic as could be, because that was Drinkwitz's first win up there Saturday. But I have a question about reviews, official reviews, like booth reviews during a game. I admit I haven't read the papers. I haven't done anything until this morning. Can a play like that be reviewed, or is it all based on the call on the field, backwards pass, incomplete pass, or anything like that? And all I will say is, we've got to beat Ole Miss. I think we will beat Ole Miss. That's definitely a hate game, just like so many others. But thanks, guys.
Well, appreciate the call, Dave.
Thanks, David. The play was reviewed. Now, I mean, you can't unring a bell is the problem. I mean, once it was ruled the way it was ruled and the whistle was blown, you can't unring those bells. So replay can only fix so far. So the clear and immediate recovery became the issue, and that was where replay could not fix the original mistake of the referee in incorrectly ruling the forward pass, which was a backwards pass, incorrectly. You can't go back and unring that bell nor the whistles that came along with it. What you would like to have seen is Fouché actually cover that ball and Arkansas could have been awarded possession. That didn't happen, and replay went as far as they could under the current rules to fix the play.
See, you keep going back to that, and that is such a, and you even mentioned yesterday that it's not it's undefinable at this point. But you keep defending their opinion of that, which doesn't make any sense to me, because when they had an opportunity, and you mentioned this also yesterday, which didn't make a lot of sense either, and I'm trying to just kind of circle back on this. You said that you didn't feel like enough players were still playing.
Correct.
And you felt like it was only two. When I watched it, I watched it even again.
In the immediate vicinity of the football.
Yes. I don't agree.
You're going to the line of scrimmage and counting Grant Moore. You listed like seven or eight players. You're going.
I said five. Let's not over.
What you said. You're trying to count Grant Morgan, who is being held around the neck at the line of scrimmage, as being near the football. That's not near the football.
He's
not near the football.
But it's defined as going clear, after the football.
That's not in the immediate vicinity of the football. And he's not in the play for recovery of the football. You only need to focus on what's in the vicinity of recovering the football.
Okay, so
just narrow your scope and your focus to where the ball is.
Okay, number 11 for Auburn, DJ Williams, the running back for Auburn, Joe Fouché, who gets on top of the football.
There's two players.
You have Malik Chavis that's coming in. Grant Morgan's trying to come in, but he's getting his choke
hold. But he doesn't come in. So there's only like two players in the area of the football.
There's not two. There's more than that. And here's the other thing that doesn't make any sense.
Really, only two players that made a play on recovering the football.
Well, okay, then let me ask you this. Back in 2019, you said this play is different, but I don't know how this play is different in terms of the immediate recovery factor. The Missouri-South Carolina game, where you have Ryan Helinski throws the ball up, it gets tipped, it comes back to him, and he throws it behind him. But there's one guy, not multiple, one Missouri player that takes long. Joe Fouché took him 2.73 seconds, if I remember that correctly, to get on top of the football, and it takes the Missouri guy in that game longer, but they say it's a clear and immediate recovery. So I don't understand.
Because there was no other challenge for the football would be my judgment in that game. If I was the replay official in the South Carolina-Missouri game a year ago, there's no other challenge by the opponent for the football. That's what you're also factoring into this.
But everyone else stopped.
Who else had a chance to cover the ball?
But you just said yesterday that because there weren't enough players that made a play.
So, you made me so
there weren't
mad.
Enough players.
Just give
on
me
that.
An ice pick and jab it in my ear.
There
you
weren't
don't listen.
No, I am listening.
Don't listen.
Listen, it is frustrating for people listening right now when every single time there's an officiating decision, and I've been working with you for 2 years now. Every single time, and I know you work in this industry, Tommy, but every single time something like this comes up, you always defend the officials.
I defend
every
the rules. Have I defended the officials on this when I've continually said they made a mistake? They made a mistake. How is that defending the officials?
You're still giving an excuse.
I'm about to walk out of here if you don't listen to me and not come back today. All right? And I'm not kidding you. I have continually said they made a mistake. How many more times can I say this was a mistake made by the officials on the field? How many more times can I say it?
They had a chance to correct it, and you still sided with their decision.
Because there was not clear and immediate recovery. What you want is two rules not correctly followed in order to get it the way you want it as a fan. That's what you want.
You keep saying that there wasn't clear and immediate recovery, but did Joe Fouché not end up with the football?
The second time he tried to recover it. That is not clear and immediate. Would you agree if you tried to do something once and you don't succeed and then you do it the second time, is that immediate? No. Is that immediate?
Tommy,
by definition.
Okay.
No.
Well, if you're going to say that's in that case, that's
come
fine.
Come on.
If you're going to say in that case, that's fine. But it took the Missouri player in that game last year longer to recover the football
but
than
he immediately,
did Joe.
He didn't have to dive on it twice. There was no opponent in the area. And it's not the same play. You're trying to make that the same play when it's not the same play.
For our listeners that have continued to ask the question about the play, what's different about that? If it takes the Missouri player longer
because
to get the...
Because there's not a battle for the football on the ground. I'm not a replay official. I work at the high school level. We don't have replay every game, okay?
Yeah. Your job is more difficult.
We operate under a different set of rules.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to sit here and try to say I'm an expert on college rules and the ins and outs of replay rules when that's not something I do, okay? That's not something I I operate under each and every Friday night. I'm here with you on Saturdays, not there doing that on Saturdays. But I have a good enough knowledge and enough friends that do this that are telling me why they did what they did. And I'm trying to relay that to you. You're not getting the answer you want, and that's the problem.
No,
you're
not
hearing the answer. When I tell you why they did what they did, you keep arguing about it, and that's the reason.
No, all I'm doing is giving you different points to explain.
And I'm not defending the officials. I've continually said throughout this entire deal, they were wrong. They were wrong. They messed it up, and it was a mistake. They were wrong. I don't know how that's defending anybody.
Well, because then you go into this long diatribe of, oh, if I was doing it, I would have messed up in that, and
but
all you're doing is like you say that, and then you back it up with saying, oh, I would have screwed this up, I would have done that. You're hurting your own statement by like stabbing it in the back. That's what people are frustrated with because
it's a play that you have never seen, I've never seen, Clay's never seen, anyone listening has never seen this play.
Okay, but if this is supposed to be the best conference in the entire United States, fair or foul, is that correct?
Correct.
Are these officials paid more than any other conference in the country?
I don't know that.
Okay, what are they making a game?
My understanding, between $3,000 and $4,000.
Okay, so they're making a good chunk of money for the course of what, three to four hours?
No, it's a lot more time than that. The game takes that long. There's a lot more time invested than that.
Okay, what do they actually go into the game and stuff? Well, that's the equivalent of saying that I do a 3-hour radio show, but
exactly.
I have a lot more time.
That would be like saying you only work 3 hours a day.
Correct. Yeah, but over the course of the game, it's what, 3 to 4 hours, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there is a lot of expectation, a lot of high. If the best statement that the SEC can give, or you can give, or some referee can give, is that they just got it wrong, that is not good enough. And that's what I said yesterday, and I'll say it today. If the SEC would have come out yesterday, or given the statement on Saturday night, and say, you know what, they messed up, that was our bad. But instead, they cited some BS rule that is still undefined. You don't know what
rule.
It's going to...
But what do you want them to define? It is the rule.
It's undefined, though. You even mentioned it.
No, there's not a def. It's not undefined.
It's not clearly defined. Okay, is that the correct way of saying it?
There's no definition for clear and immediate recovery.
So it's not clearly defined what it is?
Again, it's hard to explain some of this to someone that doesn't operate in a rule book and has never spent time in the rule book, that clear and immediate recovery has a place in the replay rules, but then there's also definitions within a rule book.
But there's no concise, hey, clear recovery, it's 1 second,
it's a judgment.
Second. But again, and I'll go back to this again. Missouri, South Carolina, 2019. It takes that Missouri player longer to recover the football than it does Joe.
But it's not the same play.
I don't care if there's another player going after two. The football.
This is so tedious. I mean, we can keep arguing about this. It's not going to change it. You're not going to change my opinion of it. It was not clear and immediate. If you try to do something once and you don't succeed and you only do it on the second time, is that immediate? No. By definition, when you rule that as immediate, if you dive on a football to recover it and you don't, but you do the second time, is that immediate?
But it's immediate if it takes the guy longer for Missouri to cover it than Joe did.
Did he do it on the first time?
But it's longer than it took.
Did he do it on the first try?
No, because the ball bounced a couple times when he got after it.
I can't help you.
Okay.
I can't help
you.
We'll
end it there.
I mean, I'm trying to talk common sense here to you, and you're not listening.
Well,
because I'm not giving you the answer. Yes, they screwed it up, and Arkansas got robbed. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you because you don't want to listen to common sense here.
Again, this is something that,
it's clear and immediate. The word immediate is, I think, pretty simple to understand. Joe dove on the ball. It squirted out. He did not immediately recover it. That's pretty simple. If there had been no other player in the area, no one else battling for possession, and then he got it back in, you probably could rule immediate recovery. Even then. But that's not what happened. I'm sorry. These plays are not all alike. You want to say, well, if it happened once this way, it has to happen the second time. Well, not two plays are alike.
And that's
the play at South Carolina, Missouri that happened last year is not the same play that occurred Saturday between Arkansas and occurred between Arkansas and Auburn. It's not the same play.
I told you to pretzel this morning.
You know, so you're trying to take two different things and make them the same, and they're not.
I'm not. All I did was...
I'm just telling you, if you tried to do something once and it doesn't happen, and then you succeed on the second time, that's not immediate. By definition, that's not immediate.
Okay. So it's not a timing issue. It's an,
and I'm with JT. Who cares at this point?
And say it's not a from your standpoint, it's not a timing issue. It's just an attempt issue. That's what we can validate
it's
it as.
It's both.
Okay. It's both. Even though it took the Missouri player longer than it did
that doesn't,
again. So that's and that's what you said. So that's fine. We'll clear it there. If you do, we want to be done with this today.
I'm done with it. I've been done.
Okay. Well, you just I asked the show this morning. You said we'll still take your calls and texts.
I wanted to take calls. I didn't want to argue with you. This is stupid.
It's not stupid.
All you want to do is argue about something that I don't claim to fully understand. You want to put words in my mouth. You want to say I defend the officials at every turn,
well, you come
which
out,
isn't true. You want to lie and say things that I don't say, and it just gets frustrating with me.
Well, Tommy, you come in here every single
morning
when it comes in.
I don't defend the officials.
The authoritative. I'm the official, so I know every thousand, and,
I've said time and time again, they messed it up. I have not defended the officials on this matter. You keep trying to paint me into that corner, which it's just not true, you know.
You've said
95% of the time, they're right. They were wrong here. And this just wears me out when I have to keep arguing with you on this.
Well, I ask you
wears
different,
me out.
Well, I ask you different questions. I mean, listen, you did a radio show with an imbecile for a couple years, a guy that agreed with everything you said for a number of years, and then someone that didn't argue with you. So it's different now. If you want me to agree with everything you say, we can do that.
I just want you to listen to what I say.
All I did was presented different points and was asking you questions. Right?
Have I defended the officials throughout this entire deal?
You said what you said.
No, I've continually said they made a mistake. They were wrong. I don't know how that is defending anybody.
And then you've gone back and said, well, they did it because of this and they did it because of that, which really defeats your argument to begin with, or your statement to begin with.
Well, I'm sorry that they're not perfect. I'm sorry they made mistakes. I'm sorry they're human.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
They just threw him out of the game. They just threw him out of the game. He's gotten his second technical, and he's been thrown out of the ball game.
In this next conversation, I want to talk about just with Sam Pittman, Drinkwitz, Kiffin, and Leach, your thoughts so far. Would you trade Pittman for any of those guys? I would probably say most of you are going to say no to this point. It's also a Toyota Tuesday. Be sure to check out the full lineup of 2020 Toyotas, including the Camry, Corolla, Prius, Avalon, or the spacious crossover RAV4. And do it at your local Toyota dealer. Toyota, let's go places. And I know a lot of you all are very happy so far with the outcome of what's transpired this season, but you got to remember, you got Ole Miss in the SEC, the gauntlet, the toughness factor never stops. So while through three games, you're really excited about what Sam Pittman, you're going to have to show up for Ole Miss. Now, I remember when my dad, and growing up with my dad and mom, and then my stepmom as well, if I did something that, like, something against the neighbor's lawn or broke a flower pot or bush or whatever, they would always take responsibility, and then I would get chewed out after. But when it came to
you're hoping that was all you got.
Yeah. And that when it came to that conversation, but it, like, publicly in front of the neighbor, in front of someone in public, they would always take responsibility for my actions, which is what Sam Pittman has done for the actions of this football team to this point, whether it's this season, previous seasons, which I continue to appreciate. But what he does expect is a level of competency on the football field. And I think you've seen it through three games. And again, it is a debatable, realistic conversation that he and his football team have performed better than Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and Missouri through three games.
Yeah, and if you do what we expect you to do, I think it's just kind of speaking from his terms, you give the effort we want, you know, they built some toughness back. But I think it's just more an effort. I think he just rewards effort. Effort is the beginning, it's the common, it's the baseline for everything they do up there, is to turn in the effort on every play, and then we can correct mistakes, but we can't correct mistakes if we don't have effort. We can't fix much if we're not turning in effort on every play. If we have problems and we're not executing properly, at least if we're going to mess it up, let's do it full force. Let's do it with effort. And I think that's what he's getting out of his players now, is even though things may not go right, even though things are not executed at the level they need to be, play in, play out, they're at least doing that with effort most of the time.
Well, Sterling and Center Ridge brought this up earlier, how this is not play. We really haven't seen a complete game for Arkansas. Arkansas has had a lot of mistakes and plays throughout the game that could have cost them, especially in the Mississippi State game. And they did cost you against Georgia, and they cost you against Auburn. So you wonder how high the ceiling can be for this football team, not only this year, but for years moving forward. And I think this question asking which coaches perform better of the new coaches I'm referring to is going to be a better question to ask after this weekend. Because, Tommy, if you can beat Leach and Kiffin, yep, through 4 weeks of the season, it's not really a comparison at that point through four games. It's just Sam Pittman has been the most complete, right, coach. Now, again, it's four games. I mean, a full season. It's not even a couple years. But well, the debate is over through four games if they win this weekend.
Well, for now. But going into the season, 2-2 would be like best case scenario back in August. We'd have said, man, 2-2 after four games, that's like best case scenario. Now, today, October the 13th, we'd say, no, 3-1, we should have won at Auburn, 3-1's best case scenario. But preseason, nobody would have turned down 2-2. In fact, you just said, I don't even know if we can go 2-2. Like, that's like best case scenario. So, you know, no one thought you could play Auburn to within 2 points. No one really thought you'd leave Auburn thinking you got gypped out of the ball game by an official's mistake at the end. No one thought you'd be that close, really, for a half with Georgia. So, you know, every turn you've been with this team to this point, you've exceeded expectations. No one really thought, leading up to the Mississippi State game, you had much of a chance there. You know, going on the road, don't take on a quarterback that threw for 630 yards the previous week, 623 yards. Oh, we're in trouble. We're in big trouble. This team has exceeded every expectation week in, week out. I've got to believe, based on that track record, Ty, they're going to do it again this week.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's going to initially result in a win, but for those who haven't heard, the line opened at 3.5 to 4, depending on what Vegas serves you look at. It is now since down to 3. Arkansas is 3-0 against the spread for all you gambling heathens out there that like to spend money as far as that goes, but for Arkansas this week, just to exceed expectations, which would be to be competitive in this football game. And I don't think, I mean, Arkansas thinks they're going to win this football game. Barry Odom, Sam Pittman, Kendall Briles, that locker room, they're not heading into Saturday thinking, oh, you know what, we might be able to muster up a decent game against Ole Miss. No, they're thinking, hey, we should be 2-2 after this weekend. Now, that's not overconfidence, and you hope the lapse, you hope there's not a hangover from what occurred this past weekend, but I mean, the outcome is what it is. You're 1-2. It's like Sam Pittman said, you're 1-2. But the concern I have with this football team, not only this weekend and weekends moving forward, is the depth. Here's what Sam Pittman had to say about Grant Morgan and Bumper Pool and how they're not really hitting in practice.
No, I don't think so. I mean, they're both beat up, so we're not going to hit them, either one of them, before Saturday. Hopefully we can get them both ready to play. I don't know that answer. We're pretty beat up as a football team right now. We just got to get some guys back.
Think about who you were missing / who was playing not 100% healthy. And it's football, and at a certain point in the season, everyone's unhealthy to a certain extent. But it seems like that Grant and Bumper are dealing with some sort of injury between the two of them. You think about Monterrick Brown, who, by the way, if you're just joining us in the program, the number one cover corner in the SEC, according to Pro Football Focus. By the way, Hudson Clark is inched in that top 10 category as well. He's at 10, so pretty impressive for Hudson.
Surprise player of the year, maybe?
Yeah, seriously, a walk-on who's really played a lot more minutes than expected. You think about Rakeem, no Traylon this last game. You think about just kind of some of the guys in the secondary. People are wondering about Devin Bush, Levi Draper, linebacker, and on and on and on. You've missed some players so far this season. How long is that going to last? How many games can you continuously sustain at least a competitive nature and a competitive edge with you? It seems like you're guys are dropping like flies right now.
Grant Morgan, obviously with an elbow problem, dislocated elbow a couple of weeks ago. If you can figure out a way, Ty, to patch and piece and make it work for one more game, you can get 2 weeks to get ready
exactly
for A&M. I mean, that's just, you know, please, dear football gods, please, you're just praying right now. Can you help us get through one more game? Can we be healthy enough to get through? I mean, this is where your training staff and your medical staff, you hope can pull off a miracle this week? You know, can you figure out a way to get this defense on the field for one more game? And then you got 2 weeks to get them ready for A&M. So that's all you can hope for.
John in Nashville texting. He says, depth will be the biggest holdback of the team now. You can see guys are playing hurt. John, that is a fantastic text. Unfortunately, that is something you're having to deal with. And it's not to say that that depth can't be sustained in later years when Sam Pittman and his crew continue to recruit. But right now, like he said, they can still win with the guys that are on that plane, but it's going to get that much harder to achieve their goals if these guys continue to suffer and sustain injuries, which in an all-SEC slate is just going to happen.
And you don't know what's going to happen with Ole Miss coming in this week, who they're going to not have available. That's what hurts so bad with the Auburn game and the way it ended. It was your best chance. They were missing their defensive leader, and then we find out right before the game starts, Big Cat Bryant's not playing. You're like, all right, this thing is set up for you to go out and win this football game, and it was. And then, you know, things happen there at the end of the ball game. So you're hoping maybe you catch a break. You caught a break with Auburn's roster this last week with Briggs being gone and with Big Cat Bryant being gone. Maybe this week you'll catch some breaks with maybe some of their offensive guys. It's not their defensive guys you want gone. It's some of those wide receivers. It's some of their offensive players that, you know, maybe they're going to be missing some guys offensively this week that will slow Ole Miss down.
And this is a great opportunity. Once again, you're on ESPN this past week. You're on ESPN2 this week to earn another level of respect, especially if you win this game, because then through four games, you're 2-2, had an opportunity to be 3-1. And all of a sudden, not only the SEC is looking around, but college football people are looking around. It's like, is Arkansas actually going to make a statement this year, which is important because you want respect from your family, your coworkers, your friends. The list goes on and on and on. And that's something you crave and that Arkansas has not had the last couple of years. And now all of a sudden, as of last weekend, maybe it's just because Auburn's not exactly the most celebrated and liked team in college football, but you have a bunch of people coming to your defense, which you haven't even had an ounce of that the last couple of years, and that's since changed in three games. And what's spectacular and amazing to me is that this has continued, this has happened, this has been showcased through three football games, y'all. Three. Not a whole season, not two seasons, through three football games, it looks like you're an actual competent football team when you weren't able to do that in 2 years.
Yeah.
That is so aggravating and frustrating that you're still paying a guy for what you thought was going to be a change in this program. But I'll give Bo Bounds credit, radio host in Mississippi. He called it early. Said Brett Bielema is 100 times better coach than Chad Morris. Tommy, he couldn't have been more right.
Only thing you may have been wrong on is it's more than 100.
Yeah, seriously.
Hey, phone lines are open if you'd like to call and discuss. We're taking your text. We'll get to some of those. 877-377-6963. There's some new favorites on the menu. They're already favorites at Art's Barbecue. Couple of them are back, like the smoked ribeye and the homemade mac and cheese. And then some new stuff on the menu, like the El Diablo sandwich. What is that? Well, that is a spicy pork patty smothered in pepper jack cheese, then garnished with tomato and lettuce and some grilled jalapenos on Texas toast. You get a side of your choice with it. Ty is a favorite. Ty loves the spicy foods.
Awesome.
And if you like something a little bit spicy, a little on the edge, you don't mind the Tums after the meal for dessert, this is your kind of sandwich at Art's. Now, Ty is not a fan of the mac and cheese. The rest of the world, the rest of the free world is, and the mac and cheese is back at Art's. And we all love the smoked ribeye. And they got the smoked ribeye, 12 to 14 ounce ribeye, a couple sides and a salad of your choice. They smoke the entire ribeye, and then they slice off that 14 ounce ribeye, grill it to the temperature you want. So if you want it medium, medium rare, they can do that. We sure hope you don't burn it, make it well done, but that's what you want. They'll do it for you. Begrudgingly, but they'll do it. Plus, they got smoked Philly cheesesteak sandwiches as well. So some new things to try. Art's Barbecue, Rogers Avenue in Fort Smith. Call ahead 452-2550 for pickup service or try them again. Rogers Avenue next to Buddy's in Fort Smith.
You have to continue to trend in the right direction this week. And what's been a little disappointing so far through the 2020 college football season, we brought up a lot of positives at this point. We've brought up guys like Hudson Clark. Davion Warren has just played out of his mind to this point. He's been an incredible guy to watch. Sam Pittman's coaching ability. You've loved Barry Odom's defense. Not so high on Scott Fountain so far, but that could trend upwards. You like what you saw from Kendall Briles' pass game as Felipe threw for four touchdowns and looked a lot better than he did against the previous two. But unfortunately, and this is personal to me because he's my favorite wide receiver and honestly might be my favorite player on the team, you got to get something out of Trey Knox. Trey Knox has to step up.
What's the deal there?
Whether it's the drop pass, the drop two-point conversion, he can't seem to get open. I know Sam Pittman has talked about that. I mean, this is a highly decorated, recruited guy, four-star, had offers to a lot of SEC schools, a very likable kid. Again, he's my favorite player. He looks like an NFL. I mean, Walter Football ranked him as a second or first-round draft pick already, but he has just not been productive this season. And especially with Traylon going out with the injury, not being able to participate in this last game. In this offense, when you think about Kendall Briles has had the weapons over the years, especially at Baylor when they had a bunch of taller, quick wide receivers, which is exactly what Trey is, to go make a play, it is a little perplexing to me that he has not stood out in this offense to this point. I don't know what you asked the deal. I have no... And apparently the hip injury that he dealt with last year is okay. Now, maybe Sam Pittman hasn't exactly disclosed injuries to the best of the ability that many of you want. Maybe he's dealing with something we don't know about, but if he's not, you just got to wonder what's going on there.
Yeah, I mean, I think it starts with getting open. You just got to find a way to get open, and I'm sure his frame draws the best defenders, but you got to wonder if you know how they're going to continue to defend him, and you know not everybody's manning up on him at times, but he's got to find a way just to get open, and then you wonder at this point how much is he getting targeted too, but you got to catch that ball like he did on that two-point conversion, and he didn't. All right, Gary in Arkadelphia is on the line. We'll get to that call in just a moment. If you or someone you know is looking to change or start a new career, listen up, because United Welding Institute in Pottsville has been training professional, field-tested welders. They've been doing it since 2013, and they can help change the life for you and your family with a phone call, 479-968-3390, or you can read more about United Welding Institute online at unitedweldinginstitute.com. Averaging $2,800 a week, that's what their field-tested welders make when they graduate from the program. They're in Pottsville at United Welding Institute. Graduates of United Welding find great paying jobs in the oil field, power plants, refineries, pipelines, and more. So seize the opportunity right now to take the next step forward in a successful and essential career. That's 479-968-3390. Make $2,800 a week being a welder with United Welding Institute in Pottsville. 479-968-3390 or online unitedweldinginstitute.com.
Want to welcome in Gary in Arkadelphia to the conversation. Gary, what's up on a Tuesday morning, man?
Oh, good morning, guys. Good morning. Ty, just keep up the good work. You're keeping Tommy on his toes there. You're giving him a lot of flack, and a lot of us out here like that. You know, make Tommy uncomfortable. You know, challenge him on his officiating. But, guys, I want to keep – you know, I know everybody's been beating a dead horse, and I want to take my swings at it too. Okay, yeah, we made a lot of mistakes Saturday that we overcame. That's the whole deal. We overcame those mistakes and was going to win the ball game until Gomer Powell blows a whistle, starts running there waving his arms, incomplete pass, and just runs the whole dadgum thing. You know, so, you know, and time like you, I was wanting to hear something out of the commissioner yesterday, and we should have known that he was going to stay hid out in his bunker. They go out, everybody's defending this rule that it was obviously created after the ball game to cover the incompetent ref's ass. And
hey, Gary, let me ask you a question. If he doesn't blow the whistle, is there a guarantee Arkansas recovers the ball?
Yeah, Fouché recovered it. Okay. He recovered it.
All right.
And well, Tom, you're saying, well, there's no players in the media vicinity. Well, that's not in the rule. It says immediate recovery. Players get, and what aggravates me, Dory Noka gets on there, and he was towing the company line. You can tell he got his orders from on high Saturday night. Well, the problem is Arkansas players stopped when the whistle blew, and I've heard other people say that. Well, what do you talk first thing in football?
Play to the
whistle blows.
Yeah, play to the whistle
blows.
You stop. Yeah.
Okay, so I guess all 11 players are supposed to keep going after the ball and hitting people and getting flagged for unsportsmanlike conduct because they didn't stop when the daggum whistle blew.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the bottom line is we got screwed. We all know we got screwed. It was a screw job on the planes, plain, pure, and simple. And I guarantee you all those officials on that crew, even the replay officials, are all getting nice, fat thank you notes in the mail this week stuffed with cash from Auburn fans. We know it. This happened. That's why, you know, that's why the calls go the way they go. Okay? Let's just be honest here. But I would have thought that I guess our commissioner is gutless, would come out and apologize and say, you know what, our officials are incompetent. They screwed the whole thing up, and Arkansas deserves the victory. And I would love to see a commissioner once come out and overrule everything and say, well, the last 30 seconds, we can change that. Why can't we, Tommy?
That's never going to happen. I'll stick up for Tom. That's not going to happen, Gary. I'll ask, and Gary, listen, I can't believe I'm saying this. These words have come out of my mouth. Was there a call previously that you had a trifle with or a problem with prior to that point? I'm just playing.
Well, I won't bring this up too. Tommy, is there still a rule in the book about a clothesline tackle? Because on our first touchdown drive, we did score, but on about the 20-yard line, they threw a flag for face mask. All right, well, the replay, no, the guy didn't have the face mask, but he had him in a daggum sleeper hold, throwing him to the ground. When are they going to start flagging that? I mean, I see that happen every Saturday. Guys get grabbed around the throat, by the forearm, by whatever, and get tackled. I thought anything above the shoulders was a personal foul. Is that still on the book? Why is it not called?
You talking about there where Grant Morgan was grabbed up on that play that's in question? That not in question?
No. This is on Arkansas's first scoring drive in the second quarter. Smith had the ball, got tackled about the 20-yard line. They threw a flag called face mask, and then they picked it up, said no face mask. But you go back and see the replay. Yeah. The guy come in and threw a forearm up under the throat and grabbed him around the neck and brought him down. It might not have been face mask, it's still a personal foul.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. But Gary, we got to let you go. Yeah. Appreciate the call this morning.
Glad you're calling again. It's always great to hear from you.
I want to hear your voice every day. Your magical, majestic voice.
Good to hear from you.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Bud Light Seltzer, 5% ABV and only 100 calories. We'd put it up against any other seltzer out there.